Kansas makes a new audacious play for the Chiefs and the Royals.
We have the best deal that we could possibly draft for you, and let's do this.
And Clark Hunt says next time they're going it alone.
I really think at this point it makes, you know, sense for us to go our separate ways.
Plus, Kansas lawmakers head for home. What did they actually do to make your life better this year? A report card. Plus, do we have to go through all this again? Missouri Supreme Court orders a revote on Kansas City police funding. Those stories and the rest of the week's most impactful, confusing, and befuddling local headlines straight ahead.
Week in Review is made possible through the generous support of AARP Kansas City, RSM, Dave and Jamie Cummings, Bob and Marlise Gourley, the Courtney S. Turner Charitable Trust, John H. Mize, and Bank of America N.A. co-trustees. The Restaurant at 1900. And by viewers like you. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Nick Haynes, and thank you for joining us on our weekly journey through the biggest local stories of our week. Hopping on board the Week in Review bus this week, I think he wrote 64% of the stories in the Kansas City Star this week. The paper's lead political reporter, Jonathan Shulman, who is putting a lot of miles on his car this week, crisscrossing between Topeka and Jefferson City, tracking the region's top political stories for KCUR News, Brian Ellison. Our city's top leaders often find themselves at Yvette Walker's door. She heads up the editorial board of our Kansas City Star. And back with us, former TV news anchor, reporter, opinion writer, and now simply local news icon, Dave Helling. Now, I usually start the show by saying we're going to track the Metro's most impactful, confusing, and befuddling local headlines. I think this week we're leaning in on the confusing and befuddling after weeks in which there has been pretty much radio silence on the sports stadiums. Did all hell break loose this week? Let's start with Kansas lawmakers who announced an audacious plan to authorize full public financing for a new Royal Stadium and a new Chiefs Stadium.
After the message that they were delivered by Frank White and Jackson County, we would hope that this kind of a message would attract them. Our message is, we're here for you. We have the best deal that we could possibly draft for you, and let's do this.
Now, we're even treated to these images of what a new Chiefs Stadium could look like on the Kansas side. But I thought, Jonathan, that Governor Kelly says she wasn't trying to recruit the teams. She was happy where they are.
Well, it's not entirely up to Governor Kelly. You have lawmakers, at least a certain group of them, who want to provide basically supercharged star bonds. These are the sales tax and revenue bonds where you're essentially financing a project using future anticipated sales tax revenue. They're controversial in Kansas. This would be a project on a scale that we simply have not seen before in terms of star bonds, up to a $1 billion minimum. If you think about Chiefs Stadium, that's potentially $3 billion. Royals, you know, $1.5, $2 billion. Simply, as the word audacious was used, I'll repeat it again, it's simply an audacious plan to try to bring one or both of these teams across state lines.
And this was one of the funding mechanisms used to bring the Kansas Speedway to Wyandotte County in the first place. We get the impression, though, because it doesn't require a public vote, that this is just free money, Dave Helling. So how does this work? Who actually does pay?
Yeah, it is not free money. It is not a perpetual motion machine. It allows municipalities and other government agencies to issue bonds based on anticipated sales tax revenue that then redeem the bonds. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Prairie Fire, as you know, Nick, defaulted on bonds, star bonds, because they just didn't produce enough revenue to redeem what the borrowing cost. And I think Jonathan talks about this proposal. It's more of an idea, because if you do the actual numbers, if you actually look at how much sales tax revenue a new football stadium would generate, it's nowhere near the amount of money that would be needed to pay off the bonds that you would have to issue to build a $3 billion stadium. It's just not even close. The idea of just using star bonds for new stadiums is more like a sports radio pipe dream than anything else.
Well, a pipe dream, and they're loving this story, of course, and it's an eye-catching headline. But can I just point out, haven't lawmakers already left for home? Does that kill the deal?
Not necessarily. We're expecting a special session, potentially this summer, because Governor Kelly's expected to veto the latest tax proposal. She has consistently promised a special session on taxes. But the key thing to remember is, unlike in Missouri, where a special session is essentially a contour to the desires of the governor. In Kansas, it's a free-for-all. They can pass whatever they want.
Kansas lawmakers were certainly led on this week by some pretty candid remarks from Chiefs owner Clark Hunt, who, while speaking at the NFL draft in Detroit, confirmed he had met with the Royals owner John Sherman, and the two teams have agreed to go it alone on a future ballot effort.
I really think at this point it makes, sense for us to go our separate ways. We may be in a situation where we're looking at a new stadium.
For Hunt to come back around and say, well, maybe we need to look at other options, just seems like a big baby that's never been told no and now is throwing a temper tantrum.
Between the two, Clark Hunt and John Sherman, I feel like they're acting like spoiled brats.
Okay, that's a tiny sample of public opinion, at least picked up by KCTV5 this week. But the Royals and Chiefs parting ways, Clark Hunt now saying they've even opened to building a dome stadium. Remember, 30 days ago, the Chiefs were asking just for some renovations. What massive catastrophe hit Arrowhead Stadium, Yvette, that it's no longer considered suitable a month later, and they now need a new one?
And there's not even concrete cancer over there.
No, that's true.
The separation is what a lot of people said before. It made no sense for these teams to go in together on this idea. And so the separation, I think, was expected after that vote went down.
The catastrophe that has befallen Arrowhead is the election results from last month. I mean, the fact is that there was no way forward for the existing approach to this issue. And so I think the Chiefs, recognizing that they're in a much stronger position than the Royals to continue these conversations, are willing to kind of shoot for the moon and see what they can get. No mention of Kansas yet, particularly after Governor Kelly poo-pooed the idea, but I have no doubt that there will be conversations in the future, particularly if there continues to be this big barrier between Jackson County and at least the Royals, possibly the Chiefs as well, where the Jackson County executive, Frank White, one of the Jackson County legislators, Manny Abarca, the rest of the legislature, the city of Kansas City, can't seem to get on the same page.
Yeah, well, Jackson County executive Frank White was asked where he was with the negotiations this week, and he says, well, I haven't done anything yet. I'm waiting for, quote, the right opportunity. And yet Manny Abarca, who is that Jackson County legislator now, filing the paperwork to place on the ballot this November a Jackson County ballot just for the Chiefs only.
Right, two versions he's proposed, one with 3/16 of a cent sales tax, the other 3/8. There is some question as to the legality of a November vote. I don't want to opine on that because I think it's a pretty close question, but it may happen, it may not. I do think some people in Jackson County are trying to make some effort to get back into the discussion, which Frank White, for whatever reason, doesn't want to participate in at all, and the teams aren't anxious to talk with him. As Jonathan and his colleagues reported at the Star, that has goosed the Kansas interest, has goosed the Missouri contention to say maybe we better get busy as well, which may have been the intent all along, Nick, because, again, the actual financing of the plan in Kansas is so, people go crazy when the teams are involved. The details in the Kansas plan are non-existent, just as they were before the April vote in Jackson County. Someone needs to put a pencil to a piece of paper at some point so we can judge them accurately.
I've spoken with Kansas lawmakers who tell me more or less that the idea being that, look, it would be amazing if we could bring this over to the Kansas side, but simply retaining these teams in the metro area is the most important outcome. So if we can kind of scare Missouri into getting their act together, then all the better.
And some people are certainly worried it's going to be the Kansas Royals, the Kansas Chiefs. Governor Mike Parson, though, was in Kansas City this week, and he said they were definitely going to fight to keep these teams.
We're going to do everything we can to keep the Royals, Kansas City Chiefs, and the state of Missouri. Now, what that looks like at the end of the day, I don't know. But, look, they're a longtime part of who we are in Missouri. And, it's like any other thing. We're going to be competitive. We're not going to let them come in here and take anything away from us without a fight.
Now, this year's legislative session in Jefferson City is winding down right now. Is he throwing cash at Kansas City to keep him here?
Well, I think he would like to throw some cash at Kansas City, although it's unclear exactly how much or from what source within the state budget. But here's the reality. As you say, the session is going to be winding down soon. There are serious questions about whether the budget itself will even make it through the legislative process. There's a whole lot of legislative priorities of the Republican majorities that look to be held up in the Senate for a variety of reasons. It seems very unlikely that there would be a sudden coming together of the minds on any sort of major investment in a stadium for Kansas City, but there is, of course, there are several years left on the lease, and I think as this week's comments indicated, Governor Parson has said pretty consistently that he's committed to trying to keep these teams, and especially the Chiefs, in Kansas City. So I think we'll hear more about it, but probably not before the end of this session.
Now, this Sunday is an important date. It's the deadline for getting issue questions on the Missouri ballot this November.
What do we want?
Abortion!
When do we want it?
Now!
Supporters of an abortion rights amendment have been in the field for months collecting signatures. Backers say they've far surpassed the 170,000 signatures required by state law. Also looking to meet Sunday's deadline is a Chiefs and Royals-backed campaign to place sports betting on the ballot. Getting less attention is another effort to raise the minimum wage, this time to $15 an hour. Voters enacted a $12 minimum wage law in 2018. Is there any reason to believe voters would say no to a minimum wage hike if it's on the ballot this year?
Well, I don't want to predict what the voters will do, but we've seen a consistent pattern where Missouri voters have been willing to pass what are perceived to be, I guess, more liberal or more progressive ballot measures than what the conservative-led General Assembly is willing to pass.
I did find it interesting looking at some of the video footage that came from the campaign for the $15 minimum wage. There was not one sign that said $15 on it. They were leaning into another component of this, which is about having paid sick leave for workers.
Mm. Yes, yes. And that would be, that kind of benefit would really attract, I think, a lot of popularity. If people are concerned about a dollar figure, but then they consider another type of benefit that could benefit them, I think that that would be more attractive.
I'm assuming, though, businesses, that would give them double the reasons to vote no on this.
Well, that's for sure, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see. I mean, I guess it depends. If we're going to go from $12 to $15, then how much will the alternate cost?
It's also striking that in Kansas is still $7.25, is it?
Right.
Which means it would be double in Missouri if this passes. Would we see a mass exodus of employees moving from Kansas to Missouri?
I certainly think it gets challenging for folks who live near the border, certain service industry kind of jobs. I think there really are some challenges for potential Kansas employers. But to your earlier question, Nick, I don't think there's any question that Missouri voters have shown a great willingness to support ballot initiatives that can't make their way through the legislature, but which are of general interest to, I think, the broad cross-section of middle-class voters in Missouri, including minimum wage, including legalizing marijuana, and I think this falls right into that category.
Mm-hmm. But to your question of whether people would want to come to Missouri for, you know, people who right now are making minimum wage, do they have the transportation to be able to take advantage of a higher wage? I'm sure they'd want to do it, but we have to think about that situation as well.
We also have to remember, by the way, that Kansas voters have absolutely no chance to do these things because there's no initiative petition process in Kansas and no prospects of that ever happening.
Well, ever is a long time, but certainly if you're going to ask lawmakers, state lawmakers, to effectively give up their power, a degree of it, by empowering the people themselves to pass ballot measures, that's kind of a tough climb.
Yeah, just quickly, I think that the minimum wage, I'm ready to be corrected, but I think the minimum wage petition is a statutory change. It's not a constitutional change.
That's correct.
And because it's a statutory change, the legislature can go back in and change it back when they want to. And I think that would be, you talk about whether there would be an influx of business to Kansas from Missouri. I think it's much more likely that the lobbying pressure on Missouri legislators to change back to a no sick day policy would be intense, and my guess is they might do that.
We also know, by the way, in Missouri, they are still trying to pass a constitutional amendment that would make it tougher to make changes to the Constitution. Would that make it more tricky to get those issues of sports betting and abortion passed in November, if they are on the ballot?
Certainly in the case of the abortion measures, I think that is the sole reason for trying to pass that reform of the initiative process. I think studies have been done, there have been articles that show that a relatively small percentage of voters in Missouri, if they came together to oppose any of those measures, could actually defeat a proposal that had broad majority support in the state. So does it make it more difficult? Yes, it does. I don't know that necessarily either abortion or the sports gambling would necessarily be defeated even with the new petition proposals, but it's going to be a lot harder.
Now, while we wait to see whether backers of abortion rights, sports betting, and that minimum wage hike have the the signatures they need to put those issues successfully on the ballot this November. A surprise issue has just been added to the statewide ballot: police funding. The Missouri Supreme Court has ordered a redo of a statewide vote in 2022 that forced Kansas City to spend at least 25% of its budget on police. That's puzzling. So why do we have to vote on it again, Dave?
Because the ballot language was misleading to voters, and so they've ordered a new vote.
The fiscal note that had been attached to the ballot measure was misleading, that in fact what the auditor, a Democrat at the time, Nicole Galloway, had calculated as the impact on Kansas City taxpayers was not reported on the ballot that went to the voters. And so the last thing a voter sees before they cast their ballot was, in the judgment of the Supreme Court, false. And so they've ordered this new election.
Is there any belief, though, that even with that technical snafu, you put it back on the ballot now in November and the outcome would be different? Because it's not just Kansas City voters who are going to be deciding this. This is people in Cape Girardeau and all places in Missouri.
Absolutely. And really, to be honest, it's about local control. And I think Kansas City wants local control. What about the rest of the states? Do they care about that?
Well, and when the measure was on the ballot last time, Kansas City was utterly unable to mount a campaign to try and convince the rest of the state that it needed to give us local control. The mayor and everyone else were nowhere to be found, and we'll see if it's different this time around.
Now, we can talk a lot about future elections, but did you know that this upcoming Tuesday is Election Day? But only if you live in Kansas City, Kansas. The KCK School District is asking voters to approve a tax hike to fix up crumbling classrooms.
It rains, it really gets in here. We'll have wet spots.
I do think it's important for students to feel good about the facilities that they're in.
Living in Wyandotte County, we have astronomical taxes that is a burden on us already. So it was a no.
Now, in exchange for rebuilding two middle schools and upgrades across the district, the average Kansas City, Kansas homeowner would see their property tax go up about $110 a year. What's the biggest argument for and the biggest argument against this?
It's going to be tough, but do we need schools that our children can thrive in? Absolutely. But we've already had serious tax issues. People don't want to pay more taxes. I don't know where we're going to go on this, but do we need it, or do the children need improved schools? Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, you get to decide that at the ballot box at KCK on Tuesday. What have your state lawmakers been doing for you lately? Kansas lawmakers are back home this weekend after wrapping up their business for the year in Topeka, though they could be coming back, as we've just heard, for a special session. But how has your life been any better or worse because they've been there over the last 4 months? What's been the biggest change we will see as a result of their work thus far, Jonathan?
The biggest change, well, that still is yet to come, which is on taxes, and not to beat a dead horse here, but the governor has been very clear that she wants to see some form of tax relief this year that would apply to everyone. The dispute is over the cost. Republicans saying our plan is affordable. Kelly saying, well, when you add it all up, it's too much. So this back and forth is still going on, and I think that ultimately is going to, if that gets resolved with a bill that becomes law, that's going to be the thing that affects the most people in Kansas out of anything that's been done this year.
Now, the things that affect smaller groups of people in Kansas are somewhat significant. For example, if you're a person seeking an abortion in Kansas, there are two new regulations, mm-hmm. restrictions that have been added under the law and where the governor's vetoes were overridden. A requirement now that that a survey be administered, that you explain why you need the abortion, as well as law that would punish so-called coercion of someone into getting an abortion. Other laws did not make it through. The vetoes were not overridden. So if you are a person seeking transgender or gender-affirming health care in Kansas, the restrictions that were passed by the legislatures fell short of a veto override, and so that won't change, at least for now.
Well, one other quick thing that the legislature did not do, and that's expand Medicaid, which the governor has talked about over and over and over. And it just, that seems like a bridge just far too far, and a victory in some ways for Republicans who oppose it.
But one thing they did do was to pass more funding for special education. And that might be a smaller group of people, but for children and families who require that, who need special education and additional funding and benefits, it's going to make a big difference for those families.
Now, Governor Kelly finishes this legislative session as one of the most popular governors in the country, at least according to a new Morning Consult poll. In fact, she's the second most popular Democratic governor in the nation, right after the governor of Kentucky. We've often talked on this program about Mayor Quinta Lucas and what his next career move will be. But what about Kelly? If she's this popular, is a race for the United States Senate in the cards for her, or even a slot in a second Biden term if he should win?
Anything's possible. However, I would not be surprised if this is her final career move as serving as governor. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think she is the oldest Kansas governor that we've had in state history. That's not necessarily indicative of anything, but this is certainly someone who could very easily...
But she's only in her mid-70s, which is a spring chicken in
right,
Washington.
And particularly in the United States Senate, where the average age is about 107, so she would fit right in. There will be pressure on her to run because there is some sense from some Democrats that Roger Marshall might be vulnerable, but I don't think she'll bow to it.
Now, with time running out in Jefferson City, the Missouri Senate began debate this week on the $50 billion state budget. Then members of the Republican Freedom Caucus shut down business for 41 hours by filibustering anything from happening. Could that actually have been good news for Kansas City? There were worries locally that lawmakers would find new ways to punish Kansas City after Mayor Quinta Lucas offered to bring migrants from New York City to work here. Did they, or have they found something else to worry about now?
I think the focus has shifted to the FRA and this essentially this tax that funds the state Medicaid program. I think as the hours dwindle down on the session, some of this other stuff is going to kind of start to fade away as lawmakers really realize that they got to buckle down and get things done.
So the news cycle on that was pretty short, Brian.
Well, short. It may have a couple more rounds, but the reality is it never had any impact in the first place. It would punish Kansas City for being a sanctuary city, but Kansas City is not a sanctuary city, and the mayor's comments, even taken at their most broad, were not really proposing that it be a sanctuary city for immigrants who are here illegally. It was about putting workers to work who were in the country legally. At least that's what the mayor says.
I will point out also in Kansas, they sort of caught that bug too. They overrid the governor, spending $15 million to help bring Kansas National Guard troops to the border, and also to block Chinese firms from gobbling up any Kansas real estate. We often in the media, you know, when we think about local politics, we never ask these local elected leaders anything about foreign policy. Should we start doing that? I mean, they seem to be very much fixated on international affairs these days.
Well, maybe we should. The thing to remember, though, and why some of those measures are more about messaging is because, one, even though they appropriated the money, they can't force her to send the guard down there. She's the commander-in-chief of the Kansas National Guard. On the foreign adversary bill, they adjourned the session sine die. So any veto that she makes of that bill, and she probably will veto that bill, is going to stand. So they passed that legislation knowing they were not giving themselves an opportunity to override a potential veto.
Now, when you put a program like this together every week, you can't get to every story grabbing the headlines. What was the big local story we missed?
What do we want?
UMKC students set up a liberation zone as nationwide campus protests spread.
I just want to see a free Palestine, you know.
As we end the week, protests gathering steam on the KU campus and at Mizzou. 100 students and faculty arrested during a protest at Washington University in St. Louis. He was shot after ringing the wrong doorbell. Now the family of Ralph Yarl file a civil suit for negligence against accused shooter Andrew Lester and the Homes Association where he lives. No word on the amount in damages they're looking for. The criminal trial doesn't start until October. Did you get sick? Police are searching for restaurant customers after a man is charged with intentionally contaminating food at the Hereford House in Leawood. And it's a week of strange mashups as Tech N9ne performs with the Kansas City Symphony and Patrick Mahomes joins the WWE at T-Mobile Center.
All righty, Yvette, I know you're a big WWE fan. So did you pick that story or did you pick something completely different?
No, I did not pick that story. The story has to be the campus protests.
Yeah.
And we just saw this week those protests ramp up here in Missouri and in Kansas. They have to crack down on making any student feel unsafe. And I think that's a big issue with what we're seeing on the campuses with the protests.
Dave Helling.
One unnoticed part of the stadium debate. If the stadium for the Chiefs or the Royals or both are built in Kansas, they would most likely be privately owned by private developers, not publicly owned, because star bonds are typically issued for private operations. If that turns out to be the case, the stadiums would be subject to property tax. Can you imagine the battle in Wyandotte County over abating the property tax on a $1.5 billion stadium? It would make
when they're already making a fuss tax for the
Don't forget
schools.
that would be an issue, too, abating the taxes on new stadiums if they move to Kansas.
Jonathan Shulman.
Jake LaTurner's decision not to run for Congress, obviously that happened last week, but this week we're getting a better sense of the race to replace him. It increasingly looks like the early race is focused on Jeff Carrs, a former LaTurner staffer who is known to Republican activists, but maybe doesn't have quite the same name recognition in the district, and then former Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt, who obviously ran an unsuccessful campaign for governor a couple of years ago. I think that race is going to tell us a lot about where Kansas Republicans are, even though it's just one district, but I think it'll tell us about this race, who controls the party, the kind of the hard right conservative activists or maybe a more establishment, more moderate wing of the party.
We often think also about that as being a Topeka district, but thanks to redistricting, it's right here in our own backyard with big parts of Wyandotte County as part of that district. Thank you. Brian.
I would lift up the lawsuit filed by Ralph Jarl and his family against Andrew Lester, and I lift it up for what it says about confidence in the criminal justice system. And I think the family's lawsuit reflects, in part, a belief that justice might have to be obtained some other way.
And on that, we will say our week has been reviewed courtesy of Jonathan Shulman, the Star's lead political reporter, and Yvette Walker, heading up the Star editorial board. From KCUR News, Brian Ellison, and news icon Dave Helling. And I'm Nick Haynes. From all of us here at Kansas City PBS, be well, keep calm, and carry on.